right, y'all. Come on in. Come on in. We are back. You see our faces. It's the Afterthought Podcast. I'm your man, Joe Hill. We got the crew in here. JP Campbell. And, of course, the always cool and ever gentle Miss Tiff Tonto. You like that intro, right? It's
yeah, ever gentle. You're the second person that told me I'm gentle. I like
you
that.
Know, because, you know, I know you. And, you know, the folks that's tuning in, they don't really know you like we know you. So she is a sweet, kind person. And we're glad to have her. So if you are listening right now, we are tuning in live. I am on the West Coast. The crew is on the East Coast. And we are back with our first official episode of 2021. How y'all feeling? How y'all feeling about the new year? I'm gonna start with, I'm gonna go to JP first, and then we're gonna bring it home with our sis. How you feeling? What's going on, Jay?
New year. Hopefully new accomplishments, new goals, new experiences. Like,
right.
2020 was rough. You know, I'm just looking forward to new opportunities, growth. That's really it. I'm excited for that, and
I think we all have the same vibe too right now. It's real laid back. It's an interesting time we are all in right now. So as he says this, I know his vibe right now because I have the same vibe. We have a real mellow start to this 2021, especially with everything's going on at the Capitol, which we'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, how you, Tiff?
I'm well. 2021, I'm always optimistic about everything, you know. But, you know, it's kind of, you just don't know. Everybody think, okay, we left 2020, so this is a new year. Things are going to be different. I think that things are going to be different, but not the different that we're expecting it to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know. So that is sometimes heavy on me, but it is what it is. You just got to roll with it and adapt and figure out how you're going to maneuver, right? But I'm excited because I actually, I just got certified as a Reiki practitioner. So I'm excited about that.
I don't know what it is, but I'm going to clap anyway. What is that? Tell the folks at home, what is
that? Okay, so a Reiki practitioner is, I don't know how to fully explain it because I'm still learning.
Okay.
But a Reiki practitioner basically is, it's a healing modality, basically. Okay. So you kind of move energy and unblock certain chakras and energies. It helps you like heal anxiety, pain. So it's all through your hand and energy. You use that. So I'm looking forward to learning more about that. And basically I got into it because I myself deal with a lot of anxiety and I have bouts of depression. It runs rapid in my family. And I'm on this new healing journey. Y'all know she, right? Yep. She healing every day.
Gotta get a shirt. Make sure you get
healing
your shirt.
Every day. Make sure you get your shirt. So I'm on this healing journey and I just thought that this would be great to get more in tune and centered for myself. But now I'm learning that this can become potentially become a business, you know. So I'm excited about this new journey, both for myself and to see where it takes me, and you know, with future.
I was gonna say, Black folks quick to get certified, but don't can't tell you what the job entails.
He's like, hold on.
What do you do? He's like, practitioner, assistant, chakra.
I got my
hip.
Books.
Yeah, she's a professional. It's a professional.
Black folks is ready to get certified. Now that's
yeah. Funny. Give me my certificate. You want to see
her flowers? She's certified. She's been growing during the pandemic, right, Jay?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. All right, so let's kick this thing off. We know 2020 just started. We had the election. You know, pass in November. Things have been a little shaky the last 2 months, but let's just talk about it. What's happening outside of outdoors, I want to say. Not outdoors, not right outside, but let's say specific, Washington, D.C., the Capitol. Today was a monumental day, not only for everyone. The Democrats flipped the two seats that we know, and it was about to be on and popping the bags. We was about to pop the bottles. And then Trump called on his alliance. As we see a lady, and I'm not even trying to be funny. It's straight up and down, in my opinion, Trump supporters upset. And he's doing it in a way where this is just validation once again. It's right in front of you. You don't need no more. Oh, well, you know, he helped the economy. Get the fuck out of here with all that. I think anybody that tells people to go and attack any type of space because you are upset at the way things is go further, like Cedric Entertainer says, that should further let you know what type of bullshit we're dealing with. So I want to get from y'all. What should I take? I'm going to go to Tiff first, and I'm going to come to Jay. With all the chaos, you know, there was a woman shot. You know, people were kicking in windows, taking pictures. What's your feelings on everything going on?
I think that once again, America is showing, and for it to actually be able to be publicized and not stopped, one of the most, what America may call the most secure building in the United States is no security at all. You know what I mean? So I think once again, America has shown us just how much they think about people of color. Because if that was us, we know, you know, what other way it would have went. So it's like blatant, like, look, policing is for, someone on Facebook made a strong point. They said that policing in America was not for white people. It's for black people. Okay, so they're going crazy at the at the Capitol, and it's disgusting to me, but part of me feels like how much of this is orchestrated? Because this shit don't make no sense to me. This some bullshit. This is some real bullshit. You know, they got the handicapped, the Special Olympics up in there. They rolling around and shit, protesting. And like, how the fuck did they get in there? Like, just everybody is in there. And how does this happen?
They went up the side of the building, Tiff. Did you see them up on the scaffold?
Yes, they was playing.
Yo, like Spider-Man. Did you see the Spider-Man? Like they was literally like Spider-Man on the side of the Capitol.
Fucking roaches when the lights come on. It was crazy.
Jay,
I'm like, I'm gonna come to you, Jay.
I'm gonna come to you, Jay. Like Tiff said, how does this happen? What are your thoughts on what you're seeing? Come on, bro.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you, and we gotta be serious for 1 second.
Oh, we are.
Byproduct of all of this is, I think, racist. Have come to realize that they are starting to lose their power and influence in this country, and they are scared because they know the way that they've treated people for generations and generations. And now that they're really seeing that we tried to be as overt as possible with someone like Trump, and we're still not going to be able to maintain a political power the way we expected.
Yep.
This is them scared. So when people are scared, they try to fight back or hit first to try to act like they're not scared. And this is exactly what it is. And we have to call a spade a spade. This is domestic terrorism. This is terrorism. Mm-hmm. They really tried to stage a whole coup. They literally engaged in terrorism, and they're still going to probably be able to go home and watch themselves on the 11 o'clock news.
You said probably. They did go home.
Like, no, you're right. You're right.
They did go home.
I stand corrected.
They even had the gumption to post it on their Facebook, like on their social media platform. This one guy said, I'm sitting here in Pelosi's office at her desk, emails are still, I'm like, oh, and he posted it with his name attached to it, like, you ain't gonna do shit
at
all. Not gonna do nothing.
And the thing that and I mean, agree, besides the obvious fact that we know if we was there, it'd have been bullets and blood everywhere. There was no police line. I didn't see any tear gas.
No barricades.
I didn't see any rubber bullets. I didn't see anyone. But when I saw various other protests whether it be Black Lives Matter, whether it be the women's movement protests.
Mm-hmm.
I saw all kinds of security at a peaceful protest for women. You got a whole bunch of army security guards blocking everything, and they not out here trying to act a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is this, the hard truth is this, right? They're not afraid of violence. They're not trying to control the violence. They're trying to keep Black people in their place. That's what that is. Because if you were really worried about violence, today wouldn't have happened the way it happened.
Yeah,
because that was crazy. So that's basically all, it's just to keep us in our place. Like, don't think.
And let me say this, and I want to tell you, we this is a perfect example of something I thought of the moment I was watching this develop on TV when I saw them busting in. First of all, before they even got to the windows, the fact that they was that able, like JP said, to get in and not have any presence from police or security shocked me. But it had me think about 1964, to be exact, the civil rights movement. The reason why I had to write an autobiography about Martin Luther King when I was in the sixth grade. So one thing I know is what I saw as a kid in middle school, looking at pictures of dogs attacking Black people, fire hoses,
water hose.
I saw batons. You know, they didn't have tasers at that time. I mean, they were beating, they were whooping ass. We were peacefully marching, holding hands, walking down certain streets of Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I'm just like, where's the dogs? Where's the present? Yeah. When I say our kids, I'm talking the next generation, when they were protesting Black Lives Matter in different cities across the world, and we were all tuning in, they said they're animals. They said they, so why isn't this being held in the same accord? You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm kind of just like, this shit is wild, but the biggest thing, why isn't it treated the same like they did to us? So that's
because
my
point. We already know that.
I mean, I know the answer. Why? I mean,
yeah, we know.
My fault. That was a rhetorical.
No. I get it, and we know it. But it's to that point that goes to show you how much more we still have to go.
Right.
How much further we still have to go?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is when we were talking about making sure people go vote, making sure people are putting in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now is the time for when I talk about starting to hold these people accountable. Come January 21st, don't get lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think, oh, we got the Senate now if you're a Democrat and Biden gonna be able to get us $2,000. No, this is the time to start staying on their ass.
And let me say this, Jay.
I
gotta bring this back because you definitely leading into the new year, you definitely was harping on certain officials that we need to focus on. And I think this a piece of with this whole voting and everything in Georgia, and particularly, you know, the brother, the Reverend
Raphael Warnock, Warnock.
I call him the Reverend Brother right now.
the Reverend Brother.
He was at 9%, and I gotta say this. Shout out to my brother Chris. Yeah. Chris out here on the Bay Love family, we was talking about it, and it was crazy how the minute the WNBA,
yeah,
the minute certain comedians and big name celebrities backed this election, that's when things took the turn for the good in terms of, and of course, shout out to Stacey, Sister Stacey, and Atlanta, and all the people down there that put the real work in. But I don't want that to go without being seen. Like, this was a different type of movement. You know what I'm saying? This was people getting behind this, you know, this year. And I think it really shows the power in voting, you know, and getting out there. And it just shows, forget the DNC. I'm talking like for real. Like, we as a community made this happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, for the future, we should be moving like this every 4 years. Whenever there's an election, I'm just saying, like, we seen what the power does. We seen how McConnell's neck look a little tighter. McConnell's neck looked like he had neck surgery.
He might need it.
But no,
he's stressed.
Is he?
He's stressed because, you know, the problem with a lot of these guys is convenient narratives. They pick and choose, and this is why we get to answer back to the point of how we really got here.
Uncle Kevin's in the building, y'all. Choosing. Yep, no, you're right.
What's up?
It's picking and choosing what people want to get mad about, what they don't want to get mad about. It's selective outrage across the board. So when you have no consistency, when it's like, oh, well, Trump just said this, oh, it ain't a big deal. Oh, Mitch McConnell just did that. Ah, it ain't really that big of a deal. Or nah, these people ain't never gonna really be OD like that. Like, this is just all, you know, it's all tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. It's all silly talk. When Fox News be gaslighting the fuck out of people and then don't really be okay. Like, oh, well, it's not really gonna happen. But then when the moment they see Black Lives Matter or other protests, when we gotta talk about what's happening to our people in these streets getting gunned down and murdered at the hands of police and government doing nothing about it, elected officials and DAs doing nothing about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're terrorists, thugs, gangsters, all of that. So it's selective in the messaging, it's selective in the response, it's selective in the how we go about addressing things, and there's no consistency. So you don't have any consistency and you let this shit slide here, you let that slide there, shit just start brewing and brewing and brewing and brewing. And then you end up having today and the whole lid pop.
I mean, I saw Van Jones on CNN. He was crying. I know it's real when Van Jones is crying. But, you know, JP, you just is a perfect segue. This is, you know, we all about current events. Van Jones brings me to a quick segue, and we're going to get back to the politics. But there is a conversation or some sort of rumor mill. And Tiff, I don't know if you've heard this, but Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are secretly split.
I saw that, but I didn't read it.
Apparently, he's been dealing with a trans situation. But that's not
even the kicker. Oh, he on the Mississippi?
That's not even the kicker. Wait, that's not even the kicker. Word on Black Twitter. You know, I got to note it like that. Word on Black Twitter.
Yes. Shout out to Black
Kim
Twitter.
Kardashian and Van Jones been secretly dealing with each other for like a year now.
Who? Kim Kardashian and Van Jones?
Kim Kardashian and Van Jones from CNN. You know, I got to bring a little controversy.
I heard something where,
and I didn't read into it.
Let me know.
Where Jay-Z and Kanye isn't speaking because there was rumors that Jay-Z and Kim had something going on.
Now that
was so I'm like that would make sense as here's to
the,
why
here's the kicker in all of it. I heard what you just was saying back when I went to see Jay-Z perform at the Barclays. That there was a reason why him and Kanye aren't speaking, but that's a he neither here nor there.
Because I was wondering why Beyonce didn't like her ass so much.
I like him. I'm just saying. she getting her little lawyer thing on, you know what I'm saying?
I watched her interview on, what's his name? Larry King, what's his name?
Larry King.
And she was pretty interesting. And I think that that's the first time I've ever like really said, you know what? I like who Kim Kardashian is.
Well, I seen her on the David Letterman interview.
David Letterman.
But yeah, I didn't bring that up for no type of merit at all. I just brought that up because that was something interesting that was slid in my from one of my producers about.
When we talk about people running for president, you know, might as well, right?
I'm just saying, Kanye and Kim.
So Kanye is messing with a trans, huh?
Kanye's messing with a trans.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Let me say allegedly.
You know what? That's why Tiff does radio. She knows.
Thank you, Tiff. Yes. Clean us up.
But no, on the political side, I want to ask y'all this, and this is something, you know, I don't want to harp on it. You know, there was a woman that was shot and killed. And I got to say this. You're running up on a federal building. You're breaking a window. You're hopping through the window. What was the goal? I'm asking for a friend. I'm not even trying to.
So the woman that broke in and did all of that got shot and killed?
She tried to hop, they said there's footage on YouTube, but she tried to hop through the window that they was breaking in as the eye is open. Go ahead. When she did one of these and put that head up, they hit her in the neck. I don't know if it was Secret Service.
Who's they?
When I say they, let me be specific. If you notice, when they were securing the house floor, there were agents, security, officers, officials. I'm not sure who they were, with guns pointed at the barricaded doors, as if like, if you come through here, you're gonna get shot. Okay.
Well, so this is what I feel about
the goal. What do you think the goal was for some of the protesters today? I'm still trying to figure that out.
I don't fucking know. Was they looking for the 11,000 votes? I don't know what they was looking for. But what I'm saying is, if she got shot and killed, I don't feel sorry for her, because when you go out and you protest and you on the front lines and you doing all that radical shit, that's what you sign up for. So what did you think? The audacity of you to think that you can break into the Capitol building and not be dealt with.
Yeah.
So, oh well, rest in peace.
And Jay, I got to cue you in on here. There was a picture also on Facebook of a brother standing with a bubble coat, a do-rag.
Oh, and hey, from Power Book.
Hey,
let's go get our
2K. We're gonna talk about
power a little later too, though. But
my segment coming in the late of this month is gonna be called "Whose Man's Is This?" And that's general.
Yeah, that's whose man's.
Whose man's is that? Because
I think that was a setup. Like, that's a, like, okay, he's the one there. Black motherfucker there, and he gonna get arrested.
Wait,
he gonna
Jay. Get. Yeah, he had me upset because the way he was standing there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, isn't real. Isn't real. Is it photoshopped?
Yeah.
Isn't real.
He had the posture of a man on a Chick-fil-A line. The way he stood there with his hands in his pockets, he looked like he was waiting for his just due. That's what got me more upset. He wasn't trying to break nothing. He just got in and he stood there like, where McConnell? Where my money at? The rent is due. Like,
right.
Was that?
Yo, when I saw the picture, I'm like, this nigga look like Kane from Power. He gonna get our money. Go get my $600 so we can get the.
Oh my God. I said, whose man's is that? And he got the do-rag. He his only thing that, listen, y'all was supposed to send me my $600 and I didn't get it yet. I feel like he was one of them dudes.
That's how he looked. Like, where's my $600? Yeah. I got Pampers to buy.
I'm just here to get this money. Look, right. Bro.
I got
Don't even send me a check. Don't and even direct deposit money? It. Give me that straight cash.
I would just pick it up. Don't worry. I can pick it up.
Yeah.
The $600, Jay?
No.
Tiff?
No.
Me neither. Tiff and I, we were texting. And she was telling me about the IRS, you know, they janky right now. They talking about this get my payment crap.
They've
been janky. I think the money, you got to file for it in a couple of
weeks. They ghetto as fuck. That's what,
yo,
they the ghetto.
The IRS is the ghetto because, you know, what the thing that also, to talk about Trump real quick, he was president for 4 years, never showed his tax returns. They find out he only paid what?
$750.
And the IRS be on a motherfucker. Oh my goodness. Let me
Wesley
tell you something.
Tapes, Ronald Isley. Ask them about the
No, the IRS only wanna fuck with Trump now because they got beef. That's it. They like
they
let him
to.
Slide. But we not friends no more. Give me my fucking money. That's
to my point, Tiff. You see how they be picking and choosing?
Thanks.
To my point, Tiff, you exactly right. They be picking and choosing shit. Now they gonna try to come after him like, oh, we're gonna expose you now. We're gonna come get you. But beforehand, it was all good. Yo, you pay your taxes, bro. Right. You cut a check, the IRS be like, hold up, I got a letter from the state talking about yo, you owe us. I kid y'all not.
It's true.
New York State, when I pay my taxes, yo, on everything I love, sat here once I cut them the check, had my tax guy do everything.
Yeah,
they send me a letter back saying I owed them $16.
Come on.
Fuck you.
I kid you not.
They petty. They said petty I owed them ghetto.
$16. But wait, here's the kicker. The processing fee and the percentages for it, quote unquote, being late because I owed them $16?
$16.75, bro.
Nigga, that shit was $19 and 30 something cents.
You owe them.
Nigga, that's where your $600 is at.
I owe you $16 and now I have to pay $38? What?
It's called Snap, but it takes forever.
Bruh. That's I'm like, you know what?
Hey, no, I'm gonna drop a random
I can't believe it.
I'm gonna drop a random true fact on the podcast on the situation. We're talking about radicals, we're talking about the political side of what's going on. Open this show. But I don't know if y'all knew this, but I said new like I was from Baltimore just now. Like, I don't know if y'all knew. Me. You said, yeah, I said that. Shout out to Woo. Shout out to Timmy Hall.
Shout out to the Baltimore man.
That was a Baltimoric. All right. So I don't know if y'all knew this, but the leader of the Proud Boys, Proud Boys is the group that's Stand By, Stand Back, whatever the fuck you said at the debate. His real name is Enrique Tarrio.
Oh.
Enrique.
I'm sorry. That's either Puerto Rican or Mexican. Either way, why are the Latinos trying to take all the white people jobs? I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, Latinos always been down.
They want to get paid.
The Proud Boys?
I'm trying to tell you, depending on the country you're from.
Right.
You think they white?
Yeah.
Depending on the country they from, and I say this as being half Costa Rican.
Yeah.
Colorism, racism, and Latin America, unfortunately, is still very real.
And featureism. Don't forget the featureism. Because you can be light-skinned as fuck, but if your nose is out there here, they'd be like, oh no. You don't have the features.
But and you know, a good thing is that I think in our generation, we're starting to see people realize and acknowledge their blackness publicly a lot more. I've seen that a lot more because when you look around the world, this Black Lives Matter is an issue in Brazil. It's an issue in England. It's an issue in Argentina. It's an issue in Australia. It's happening everywhere, people. It's happening everywhere. And we need to just call a spade. And I'm glad to see people doing that now. But to Tiff's point, all of those things was very real. Featureism, colorism, slandering, talking about you, thinking if you don't know the language, you're not either this enough or
you're
that enough.
You're not this enough, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have to stop doing that as a people, collectively.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that to my Latinx brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that to my African-American, my Caribbean folk. I don't care what island someone's from. It doesn't mean you have a right to hate them. Black folk, we don't need to sit here and say because you were from here and you didn't go there or you don't know this or you don't do that, that you're not black enough. We have to stop doing that.
Yeah.
I was just explaining this to my daughter last night. I was saying that she's good. She's back there somewhere in her room watching anime and shit. But I was just explaining this to my daughter last night. I said, like, with racism and all the different cultures, you know, and how even though we're all people of color, we all discriminate and have prejudices against one another. And that's because it's kind of like, you know, having siblings and having a fucked up parent, a fucked up household, and they favor one child over the other. So now it's like, okay, you're doing good today. I'm doing good. I'm getting favored. So I'm better than all of y'all. So that's why, you know, this is how the different races feel like, okay, black people get the shit into the stick. We're better. They hate us, but they don't hate us like they hate you. So that's that mentality of just wanting to be chosen and to be good enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak on racism personally from my experience. I've had moments where it was like I've been treated like a situation where I felt like I was stereotyped or prejudiced against me. I haven't had that police moment where you like stopped. You know what I'm saying? Like you see in
you
the
never
movie.
Been stopped and frisked?
I've stopped and frisked, but I'm saying the moment where like it's gotten to a point where I feel like I was going to lose my life. I'm saying I've been stopped and frisked and annoyed. but not to a point where the guns were drawn. Like, I'm saying...
Oh, I had them grabbing the gun. But...
I'm going to say this to my upbringing as a kid. You know, those that know me, born and raised in the Bronx, I'm a worldly dude. When I say that, I used to go to a sleepaway camp. Some people are going to laugh at that. You're like, sleepaway camp? Coming from the Bronx. Too.
Fresh air fun?
Nah, similar. It was called Camp Sloan out in Lakeville, Connecticut, about 2.5 hours from the city. And I think the time I went was very critical. I'm talking 7th, 8th grade, you know, maybe even early as 6th grade as a camper before I started working at this place. And one thing I noticed to me as a person, as a human being, I'm definitely not a racist. I may see certain things, I may stereotype, but I can't be a racist. You know why I can't be a racist? Because this camp that I went to, every summer, 2 weeks out the summer, coming from the Bronx, Eden Wall Projects, one of the baddest projects in the fucking Bronx. When you look on the news and you hear about the killings in the Bronx, it's from Eden Wall Projects. I'm not even joking right now. That's one of the I'm talking 225th Street and Laconia. If you don't know where I'm talking about my barber's where I worked at when I was a kid, that area. So I say that my mother, you know, would send my older brother and I, and even my little brother, away for 2 weeks. I'm talking in the woods, in a campsite, you know, and you're around different types of races. Your counselors and your people you deal with on a regular basis are from Switzerland. You might get somebody from Jamaica. You might get somebody from Australia. You might get somebody from Africa. You might get somebody from Canada. I'm around different types of people, adults. I'm around different types of kids. So for me, coming up, my upbringing exposed me to different types of races. So I appreciate that because I couldn't imagine being in a world where I hate somebody just because of their ethnic background. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's taught. That is not something you just wake up and you just on some shit where you just like, I hate all the Asians in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is taught. Like,
I hate all these Asian
motherfuckers. Like, that's just taught. You know, when you're taught as a kid to shoot a rifle at America, that shit is taught. And politics is a motherfucker. Politics happens in your family. Politics happens in your friends. We're taught a lot of things. But as a kid, I wasn't taught to hate somebody because of their race, because I was around them. I was around every different races as a kid. So for me, that upbringing was just, you know, different. So coming in, seeing it as coming into an adult now, high school, college, you know, as a 30-year-old man, even like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? How do we get to this? And that was something I was saying. Is one of those questions I'm always bring up. How did we get to this where we're taught to hate somebody because of a color, because of a race? Like, really? What makes y'all so fucking special? You know what I'm saying? So that was just my thoughts when you said that about race and shit like that.
I mean, I have a similar upbringing. I was born in Harlem. You know, I lived all over. I lived in Brooklyn. I lived in East Harlem. But I also went to Fresh Air Fun, where I stayed in Pennsylvania, Ritz, Pennsylvania, with a Quaker family.
Yep.
And like miles away, there was Amish people, you know what I mean? And you just learn different cultures. And then just growing up in New York City, that's the melting pot. Everybody is there, right? So there's no way that you can be that close-minded unless that's taught to you in the home. Either, well, you sitting there being told to hate somebody, or you're learning it through the models in your house, the role models in your house. So I wasn't taught that way either. You know what I mean? I mean, growing up in Spanish Harlem, I used to have like some animosity towards Spanish people only because I was always assumed to be Spanish because of the way I look. I was never black enough to my black friends or peers. And I was like, you're okay because you look Spanish over here. Meanwhile, I have a brother that is like darker than my daughter. And then that caused friction between the two of us because it's like, I'm accepted because I look this way. He's not accepted because he looks that way. My mom looks Dominican. You know what I mean? So it was just weird. But that was because I was immature. Now that I'm mature, I don't feel that way. And it was never really like, I just hated. I didn't dislike Spanish people. I disliked people assuming that I was Spanish.
Yeah.
So when that happened all the time, I just didn't want to be associated with it at all.
And that's a byproduct of the environment, because we all can speak on similar experiences. Like going to school in East Harlem too, with Tiff, Joe said it too. Born in the Bronx, lived the whole city life. And then when you go to elementary school and you're in a great school with kids from all different races, then in junior high school, my junior high school was like a really talented, like, I don't even like the term gifted, because, like, you know,
they call it specialized gifted now. They call it specialized
high school. But I was in specialized junior high school into specialized high school.
Work.
And when you're around, and then I used to go to camp at the 92nd Street Y. So I would, and it was day camp. But at the 92nd Street Y, it was Jewish kids, white kids, Italians.
I played ball at that day. Up until an adult. At the 92nd
Word.
No. Yep.
Word. Shout to George and everybody. I used to be up at the gym on the third floor. You know the day.
We was in the corporate league. We was in the urban league. Me and my older brother used to play at 92nd Street Y for a couple seasons. But now you right. Go ahead, Jay.
So to that point, I was, whether it was in school, then when it was in camp, and then going to Brooklyn Tech, where you're around everybody, like you realize, I tell people, like, there's no such thing as like stereotypes where Asians are this, blacks are this, white. Look, everybody is smart. Everybody's capable. Everybody is a gangster. Like, I seen some real, real gang violence committed by all types of ethnic groups in one of the smartest schools ever.
Facts.
And people would be like, oh, it's just a bunch of nerds that go to Brooklyn Tech.
Where's Brooklyn Tech? The college?
High school.
Oh, the high school.
Brooklyn Tech is lit.
But yeah, what? I like, don't sleep. Yeah, don't sleep. Like, there's brilliance around here and there's gangsters around here too. Yeah. And they're one in the same. They are one in the same. So you cannot assume or think that one group is this or one set of people are that. Like, we all, like, growing up here in the city, like, you gotta, when you get on a train, you ride the train with the CEO and with the janitor.
That's a fact.
And if somebody blocking you or in your way, the same energy is applied.
Yep.
But the problem is that our New York experience growing up uptown and going to school throughout the city and all of that.
Yeah.
Is different than the experience in South Dakota, North Dakota, so Iowa, Kentucky,
Syracuse.
You name it. Exactly. Upstate. You go to these different places where, if you look at where a lot of these old country Republicans are, if you look at their educational systems, the worst educational systems, Alabama,
mm-hmm,
Kentucky, North and South Dakota.
Why is that?
Wyoming.
I want to share a meme with y'all, and I want to see if they'll allow us to see it about race.
Finances. And this is what happens. I think lack of exposure to other groups, other people, and the fact that these states don't have the money to provide the real education and resources.
Right.
That you can find in New York, in LA, mm-hmm, in Philly. Even though there's hoods in all of these places, there's still real community.
Right.
And there's still sense of having to see or be around or have to interact with other ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of those states and a lot of those places, that doesn't exist.
Why?
And we still have to remember that these people have been passed things on from generation to generation to generation. And the way our system works is that you still get to have people like Mitch McConnell, other representatives, two senators from all of these states.
Facts.
Now get to vote and decide on what makes a difference for the entire country. But the way our lives are in New York, compared to the way the life of someone is in Montana,
mm-hmm,
the needs that we need are not going to be met let alone be assessed fairly and properly.
Right.
By someone in Montana who gets to have two senators for 6 years, or someone in Vermont or North Dakota and South Dakota.
For hella long, too.
For hella long. Bruh,
we why are they allowed to be there that long? That's what I don't understand.
That agrees.
Especially if you're not effective. Get the fuck out, okay? Bye. Thank you.
I was going to show y'all a meme, and I can't for some reason. It's on my page. It's called Black Folks Watching This Foolish Man Like. And it's four pictures.
Yeah.
One is Papa, Patti LaBelle, Celia, the color purple.
Number
four. I think I'm number four, Celia, the color purple.
I miss Celia. Because I'm laughing.
I was a mix between Kamala. And Patti. Because I'm like, but then you know, you gotta realize like this.
I'm just glad as they ass is doing this shit and not us.
Right.
Anytime white people act like white fools, I'm just like, I'm glad it's you and not me.
You know, like the old church usher in church or the deaconess when the pastor preaching about it, like, nodding their head. That's us right now, just looking at them like,
I'm glad it's you. When I see their kids act up in the supermarkets, I be like,
That's you.
Yeah, so, glad it's you.
I want to go to our first segment, and I'm going to go to Tiff first. We definitely gave y'all a little teaser of it, but she definitely segued it in this episode called Ain't That Some Bullshit? Ain't This Some Bullshit? So without any further ado, let's talk about it, Tiff, on our segment here on the Afterthought Podcast, as we call Ain't This Some Bullshit? Talk
all
about
right, y'all. So there's a couple of things that's some bullshit floating around, right? So first of all, employers are now allowed to mandate employees to have the COVID vaccine.
Really?
So your employer is now given the permission and the right to ask you to get vaccinated if that's what they want.
In your way.
Interesting.
What did you say, JP?
Go ahead, Jay.
Oh, I didn't say nothing. I'm shocked.
Yeah, so now, you know, they do have the right to ask you to be vaccinated. And if you refuse, then you are going to be, you know, you're not, they can tell you you're not allowed into the building. And because of this, because you pose a threat. So I just think that's some bullshit that employers are now able to make decisions about your health and your life, basically. And, you know,
that's crazy. Question.
And you're putting people in a bind because it's like now it's like, why is this vaccine so important for people that want the vaccine? Fine. But for people that don't want the vaccine for whatever reason, because of religious reasons, whatever reason you don't want the vaccine.
Or they don't trust it.
Or they don't trust it, whatever reason. You know what I mean? Or you've been injured by a vaccine in the past. Who knows? Right. People have their reasons, right? So whatever your reason is, to take your right away or give your right to the employer, it's kind of fucked up. So I just want to know, like, what's in this vaccine that you are really going to say, listen, we're going to stop you from working if you don't get this vaccine. We're going to stop you from traveling if you don't get this vaccine. Look, they might tell you you won't be able to renew your driver's license if you don't get this vaccine.
That's a fact.
So they're putting everybody in a bind. So that makes you question. That makes me question. What's in this vaccine? Why do you care so much about my health if you did not care about my livelihood this whole 8 months?
I agree.
People are homeless. People couldn't eat. People don't have no money. They lost their jobs. They lost their businesses. But you care so much about us that you said, okay, we're going to make you wait 8 months, maybe give you $600 or maybe not. But we care about you so much, we want you to get this vaccine. We care about your health.
We care about you so much.
We care about you. So to me, that's some bullshit.
What you think, Jay?
Question. I got a question for you, Tiff. When they said this stuff, like with different employers, did they say like any like company in particular?
No, they did not. They're just giving employers the right. So it's going to be totally up to your employer.
Oh, wow.
That leaves a lot of gray area.
Yeah,
that's why. Yeah, because I got another follow-up for that. Because now that's going to allow every private corporation to do one thing, any federal employee, state, city employee to have a different set of rules.
Hell yeah.
And then this is like they do that, that's going to start really opening up Pandora's box. Like,
because it can get messy, right? I'm wondering, because you know there's no courts for vaccines, right? You can't take Moderna, nope. Big Pharma, anybody, Pfizer, you can't take them to court if you so happen to be injured by a vaccine. There's no courts. You can't sue. Even though when you go to get this vaccine, they give you a whole pamphlet of what the side effects, the possible risk and side effects
are. 36 pages.
Right? So you have that there. When you have those risks and those side effects in front of you, you should be able to make the choice like, nah, I don't want to possibly get a twisted face over this shit. I'd rather have COVID. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you're supposed to have a choice. So why give me the risk and the side effects just to say you don't have a choice?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? What happened to giving consent? We don't give consent anymore.
Yeah, but this is also like, it sounds like a byproduct of like, this is really just the government or business entities working over our heads. They're both.
How would that be?
We're doing this. Whatever you say doesn't really matter. You kind of just have to like shut up and take it. And we're going to start giving like financial incentives to corporations and businesses who do it, like.
So do we get to sue the employer? Because now, would it be under a different section now?
Right?
Would we be able to sue the employer now for, you know, making you do this?
Because now it's given the human rights.
Huh?
Like, you can file complaints with like the Division of Human Rights. And other groups I know to be like, okay, if I was mandated to do this, I then did it, something now happens to me, you have to be able to have the ability, like, employers can't force that and then not understand that they can like catch it on the back end if something bad happens to someone.
Right.
So I don't know if they're going to be protected under the same laws that Pfizer and everybody else is protected under, or they're just saying, you know what? Here, y'all, this is a vaccine. We just figured this shit out in 24 hours. Now we're going to put it on y'all. Y'all mandated. And then if anything goes wrong, then it's on you. I don't know all the ramifications behind that, you know, or the legalities.
It just seemed real. Like, the fact that you're saying it, like, we know it's real, but this shit seemed real loosey.
Too loose,
they better get their ducks in a row, because this could get messy fast. And then not only are people going to physically be hurt, but people are going to be hurt professionally. People are going to be hurt emotionally. People aren't going to know what can happen generationally. Like, it's a slippery slope. Like, I feel like it just sounds.
And my thing is, here's another thing for people that are essential workers that actually go into the workplace and not working remotely. For the past, 11 months, right? We've been in pandemic for 11 months. For your employer to say, listen, we want you to have this vaccine because we feel like you pose a threat. Bitch, fuck you. I was here 5 days a week for 11 fucking months and nobody got sick. You know what I mean? So how are you gonna say I pose a threat now because you've been given some power?
But
I agree.
But I'm gonna tell you something I've heard from my friends in the nursing community, and most of them have agreed to getting the shot. because a lot of them,
I'm getting it when I get back to New York.
All their coworkers were exposed. They were exposed. They don't like, but they do trust. They said they trusted enough and think that it makes a difference. And then I also know others who have sat here and said, I believe in it, but I also want to give it some time as well.
We just had Kiara on here. Shout out to Kiara.
Yeah.
I think that's what eased my concerns, hearing from her, somebody we know. So uh-huh. I appreciate it for coming on, but I think I'm going to be getting it when I get back to New York in about a week and a half. So, because I'm traveling, I'm moving around, and I just ain't got time for multiple tests, the rapid test, the regular test.
So it's once you get vaccinated, you don't have to be tested anymore?
I'm not going to say yeah or no. I just know that there's a stages of multiple shots, 2 to 3. From there, you monitor it. You got to monitor it based off of how you're feeling. You can't really, you know, so I'm just saying like.
See, I'm someone that don't even get the flu shot.
If you got a runny nose right now, motherfuckers is looking at you like.
Yeah, and that's what society, that's what they made you believe. Like,
it's like a zombie movie.
I'm allowed to catch a fucking cold. You know what I'm saying?
You know how the person get bit in the zombie? Everything is cool until a motherfucker get bit. You ever notice that in the movie? Motherfuckers, as soon as that motherfucker get bit, they looking at him like, hold up. How long ago you been bit? Why you ain't tell us? Then they want to kill you because you might infect somebody. So it's.
I think this is more of a mental health issue, health pandemic than it is an actual.
Yeah,
you know, whatever they calling it, because now everybody is walking around really in fear that, damn, oh my God, my nose is running during allergy season. I must have
allergy
COVID.
Season right now.
I gotta stay the fuck away from everybody. You know what I mean? So I think it's more of a mental health issue than anything else.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But I'm not saying that COVID isn't real. I'm not saying that it hasn't impacted anybody. But I'm saying that. Don't believe the hype. That's what I'm
saying. I'm going to say this. COVID has changed a lot, and this is a perfect segue for one of the topics I wanted to talk to y'all about, the importance, or, you know, the importance of it at all versus we've all seen how the pandemic has affected us. Some of us work for other people. Some of us work for ourselves. And we've gotten to see in the last 10 months the power of independence, working for yourself, whether you're a comedian, an artist like myself. I've been making my money not from the board of it. I've been making my money from my own content, my own work, me traveling, doing stuff. So I think the pandemic was a gift and a curse too, also, because it put people like myself in a position to be like, time out. I don't want to have to depend on nobody if some shit goes down. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to worry about, damn, my job furloughed me, or people out there can't go to work, or their job is not even there no more. So how do y'all feel about that for the future? Working a regular 9-to-5 or starting your own business, you know,
that way you can. I think that they are pushing us towards that. If you couldn't think like that before because you're so used to the hustle and bustle, or you don't have those examples in your life where it's even, you know, possible, you know, and you're just not thinking like that because people are fearful, people have responsibilities, so you want something that sure thing, you know what I mean? So not everyone are risk takers or even in the position to do that, right? But I think that this situation here is making people start to think like that if they hadn't thought like that. Because if you're sitting around waiting for them to give you maybe $1,200, then maybe $600, you know what, maybe $2,000, you know what, fuck all of that, you're not getting no kind of dollars, you know what I mean? Maybe you can claim it on your taxes, but what if you didn't claim your taxes because you didn't work, you know what I mean? And you don't have taxes to claim because you're on social services or social security or whatever the fuck it is you got, you know what I mean? Then you just out of it. So, or your job can just say, you know what, restaurant business. Did you see the video of the girl that quit her job on site? She's a waitress, young girl. Mm-hmm. This couple was coming into the restaurant and they you have to wear your mask until you're seated.
Right.
Husband had his mask on and the wife was like, no, she was being very combative. She didn't understand why. And you know, I understand what she was saying. Like, it doesn't make sense. I'm gonna walk over there, You know what I mean? The mask, you know, I can take the mask off when I sit down, but I can't walk to the bathroom. It all makes no sense. But at the end of the day, if you want to go out and enjoy the leisure of being able to sit in someone's restaurant, they have rules they have to follow so that they can stay open and not be fined. So, bitch, just put the mask on, play the little red light, green light, 1, 2, 3 game so we can get it over with. So the girl has to explain this to her. She's going back and forth. She went to get the manager, and then the manager comes and try to explain it, and she's just being, you know, a Karen. So the young girl was like, you know what? This is not even worth it. It's because of people like you. This is not even worth it. It's like 4 people in the restaurant. Think about it. She's a waitress. She works off of tips. It's not enough people in the restaurant for her to be being security too, to explain to you during a pandemic that you have to wear your mask because these are the silly rules. Yes, I think they're silly too. I'm a waitress. I'm supposed to smile before this whole thing. My whole job was to smile. I can't even smile anymore because I got a fucking mask on. So now I gotta argue with you. She quit. I felt bad for her.
What you think? What you think, Jay? That sound like the tip of the mill what we going through right now, though. I ain't even gonna front.
I think people have to realize that to Tiff's point, some of us are afforded certain luxuries, opportunities, quote unquote, others aren't. And with that being said, unfortunately, we have to realize that we don't get to make all of the rules, but we can make our own and create our own.
Right.
Follow me for a second. To Joe's point, if there's a level of ingenuity in you or sense of go-getterness, or you realize throughout this time that I have this talent or I have this ability and I have the opportunity to generate revenue from it, make a living from it.
Yep.
Just be happy and not miserable.
Just be happy.
Just be happy doing what you're doing.
This makes me miserable, this fucking command center right here.
Go ahead and do it. I also understand the fact that there are people who live with loved ones who have compromised immune system. Or deficient immune systems, or they are 3 generations in one household. So grandma's a certain age, or grandpa's a certain age, and, you know, kids who can run around and it's not an issue, they pass it along when they run around and come back home. Then when someone else is sick or someone else is having a hard time, we're like, but you know, this is just kids being kids, and then this is a very precarious situation. Like, I think every person should weigh their individual pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I know I can say for myself, I'm not like afraid to like go out, make moves, be around people.
Right.
But as much as I know that, like, I have a mother with underlying health conditions. My grandmother is 85. Underlying health conditions. Like, I cannot. And then there are moments when I have to be with her.
And she just has age. You know, she's
exactly.
Aged.
Yeah.
And even sometimes to go with her to the doctor, or when she has a nurse visiting her, or her physical therapist, you know, different things. I'm like, I personally can't afford to do that because I have this responsibility in my life. It doesn't, you know, and I think people have to not get so wrapped up in the feelings of when someone says, because you ain't going after it, that you're not doing nothing. That's not really what they mean.
Facts.
Like, it's not a situation where if someone says you ain't really been hustling, like I seen a post Diddy said, you don't have it in you. He's not dismissing the fact that, you know, we have personal responsibility.
Great point.
And we have things that we need to be accountable to, and people to be accountable to and for.
When Diddy was hustling the way he was young kid, probably no responsibilities. Exactly. you know, fresh out of college or still in college, like, whatever the hell he was doing, dancing and, you know, he was able to do that.
He was doing work.
Yeah. Like, think about it like this. Like Joe and Tiff are parents. Like, y'all got kids that got to eat every day. The kids got to eat.
Yeah, and I want my food stamp card, too, because this
You ain't get your $32 yet? They ain't give you a $32?
I ain't get it. I ain't get nothing.
Oh, they playing.
$32 one
they
time.
They don't appreciate me. Don't appreciate my tax dollars. That I be stupid that
but
I
you
be
right,
paying.
Man.
Janky-ass IRS.
Yeah, like Trump. Huh?
Janky-ass IRS.
Janky-ass promoters.
Yo, Jay, this is a good segue, though. This is a great segue for the pro tip. And when we say the pro tip here on the Afterthought podcast, you know, we like to come with different perspectives. And one thing I know about JP, he's always going to give you sound advice, but also successful advice. Advice that's going to, you can listen to it, even if you don't know him. He's going to give you a gem that's going to help you and be the next, you know, little Willy Wonka ticket, you know, as we say. So without any further ado, let's welcome the pro tip with JP.
Appreciate y'all. Today's pro tip is going to be simple, but profound. Based on what we were just talking about, remember this, y'all. Nothing in this life is promised to us, but we owe it to ourselves to live it as fully as we can.
Is that it? That was nice.
Say that again. Hold on. That was profound.
Nothing in this life is promised to us or guaranteed, but we owe it to ourselves to live it to its very best.
I like that.
The reason why I say this is because for the last few weeks, unfortunately, I had to deal with like a personal family significant issue. My beloved, my dear Aunt Betty, God rest her soul, suddenly passed away on December 11th, right before the holidays started. When we talked about the sponsorship for the show.
Yes, sir.
She was the person we were talking about.
It's a fact.
Lloyd's Carrot Cake. As our official sponsor. That's still, we're gonna still make that happen.
But oh, we got
that's
to.
That's exactly what it was.
We're gonna keep it going, for her.
With that being said, my aunt was my father's twin sister. When I tell you, she just did everything and was such a light to the community of the Bronx and Harlem. People know the carrot, people know Lloyd's Carrot Cake. People just know my aunt just for being the woman that she was. And the one thing I want to hold on to, and I just want to share with y'all as far as the pro tip was concerned, is that every day of her life, my aunt was like, she was serious, she handled her business, but when she needed to take her time to go dance, to go on her trips, to chill with her girl, she was out. She lived it. She traveled. You can work hard and still make sure you take time out to travel, be with your family, love on them. Like, finding that balance is key, but every day live it. Get on that flight, take that trip, try that meal. Like, say hello to that person. You never know what experience that can lead to by literally just saying hello, having a friendly conversation, in your daily interactions, trying to be thoughtful and considerate.
Facts.
So I just urge you all to owe it. You owe it to yourself to live it and live it at your very best. Because when it's finished and when it's your time, unfortunately, it's your time.
Yep.
And the one thing I can honestly look and say is that I don't think my aunt can sit here and say she had any regrets. As sudden as it was and as much as it was to process, I don't think anyone can sit here and say that she had regrets.
Right. She lived.
She lived. And she did it unapologetically. She lived. She worked hard. She went about making it happen. And she says, if I'm going to do this, I owe it to myself to make sure I'm still able to dance, keep a light, keep a great energy around me, continue to love on those around me. And I just wanna sit here and say, that's something that I think we all need to do. I just wanna take the time out to thank my co-host so much, Joe Tiff, because as I was going through this was a lot. And they showed so much love and support. Everyone that's watching and listening, that's extending condolences to myself, to my family, to the bakery. I wanna say thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you, we appreciate it. And don't worry, we're gonna keep this going. We all understand, we have a legacy that has to maintain. And I'm blessed to sit here and say I have a family who loves it. We love each other. We hold each other down. We've been instilled from day one that when we do this together. So I'll leave you with this second one too. With a big village comes big blessings, but you also can have big losses.
So that's true.
As much as some people can sit here and say, well, I have a smaller circle, so it allows me to not have to worry about too much. And you may not experience other things. If you have a lot poured in you, and then you end up dealing with a lot of loss, which I know I've had to deal with in my life, I can honestly tell you, I'm thankful for all the years that I've had all of those people to pour into me.
Yeah.
More so than being angry and upset or frustrated and questioning why and being mad at the world for not having them anymore.
Right.
Because some people never had that to begin with.
No, you're right. And you gotta be grateful. You gotta be grateful. And that's the dopest pro tip. That was a strong, I don't know how you're gonna follow that up next week. I don't know how you're gonna follow that up next week, but that was a strong
one. I had to just do that, and that's it.
We appreciate you.
We're gonna keep it much lighter.
Oh, of course. We got like another 10 minutes left. You know, it's a lot going on right now. The pro tip, ain't this some bullshit? We see it, you know, we try to provide different aspects of segments. So we wanted to come into the new year with different segments for y'all to look forward to. This is, you know, that pro tip, just, you know, you got to be grateful. You know, you got to live. You can't live in fear. You got to live it. Shout out to Live It. We are live on Live It right now.
Yeah.
Streaming this episode, and always shout out to Live It, but you got to live it, and you got to, you know, you can't live in that light. So I agree with that tip. And I don't know what else to say. I just want to say shout out.
I have a question for the ladies.
Go ahead, Tip.
How many ladies is viewing right now? Because I need some feedback. I was having a little debate with one of my homeboys.
We got like a few people. When I say a few, like two people on Facebook.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can still speak to the ladies.
And let them respond back after they listen. And then we follow up.
All right. So I was having a little debate last night with one of my homeboys, right? So I don't know how we got into the conversation. I think we was talking about Little Boosie and the comment that he made about Dwayne Wade's son or daughter. So we was talking about, and then it led into transgenders, right? And then I talked about how Dave Chappelle said he made a joke about Rachel Dolezal, and he said he don't believe her, that she, how committed she is to being black, but he do believe transgenders because they cut their dick off and say, you know what, don't need it. So they're committed. He was like, I don't understand it, but I believe him. You know what I mean? So then it went into this whole debate about, you know, how men typically say, generally men say, they can't, you can do whatever to me, just don't cut off my dick, don't do nothing to, you know, his private area, right?
So far, so,
yeah. Right. He'd rather be armless, legless, whatever. So then he asked me that question. He was like, so how would women feel if, you know, you had to sew up your, you know, your vagina? Would women feel the same way? And I said, I personally don't believe that women have the same sentiment as men do when it comes to that. We're not willing to like cut our nose off, you know, walk around without an arm or, you know, just do whatever, but just don't sew me up down there, because we have more to offer, or we have more than that. Okay. You know what I mean? It's so like, the there's more is, to us than that.
I just want to get the it's, question right.
That's not the end all be all for us. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. But the question other
ways, is, if it was about sex, right? There's right. other ways women can be stimulated other than of having course. Her vagina. So she'd rather be, you know, say a woman is like with a man, he's an older man, he can't even have sex anymore. He's not interested in sex anymore. If she still has her arm, she's still someone that is attractive. She can walk around with dignity and feel good, right?
Right.
So I'm like, women don't have that same sentiment just of the mere thought of it. But okay. we don't know how you would feel after the fact. You never know how you're going to feel after the fact. Like, oh shit, I thought that I would be okay with sewing up my pussy, but now I'm not okay with it. But initially, if you just think about it, we're not going to say, you know what, cut my arm off, cut my nose off, you can take my eye, you can take anything, just don't do that. I don't think women have that same sentiment.
I mean, I'm going to say this. I want the women to respond, because I don't want y'all to hear me. I want y'all to respond, even if you hear it later, but I'm going to say this. Men have a different sentiment. And there was a comedian. He was saying, you know, men have conversations about bullshit all the time. And it connects to what Tiff is saying. This is what, follow me on this. We have conversations about bullshit. And the comedian was saying how, like, for example, we can have a full conversation. Like, the conversation be two brothers and it sound like this. Hey, dog. Would you fuck a chick with no nose?
And y'all would, right?
Look, look, in the conversation, this would be the reply. No nose? Like, what you mean, cut off? Like, you mean...
Yo, I was just about to say that. Like, wait, only one nostril or nah?
Here's the reply. Yeah. Here's the reply.
Does the lights have to be on? Is she going to be the reply. Turned around?
Well, yeah. I mean, bag over her head. Like, just, yeah. like, damn. And we'll be like... Yeah, I would. I would. I think I have to put a bag over. She got the blood coming out. I got to put like Skeletor, Masters of the Universe. I got to cover that. But conversation is about nothing. So the same sentiment and how that relates. I mean, I don't know, Jay. What you think, Jay? Jay, like, don't even tap me.
I think y'all can answer this question just off of, you know, your experience with different women, whether it was right. romantic, whether it was platonic, friendship, right. just knowing women versus men. Do you think overall, generally, women have the same sentiment about their genitalia that men do when it comes to, you know, either this or that?
I think to a certain extent they might, just right, because man. There's a certain, like, while for men, we kind of associate being a man with our penis.
Right.
And I don't think women associate being a woman because of their, like, their vagina.
Think our boobs. You know what I mean? It's your breasts.
I know a lot of people, like, I think they would be, because it's more outwardly somewhat, unfortunately, for women, because presentation always matters. Like, women
the can't pressure even, of being...
That pressure always exists.
Hard, I know.
Like, a woman can't just even think to just wake up, roll out of bed, and run to the corner store.
Oh no.
Without even feeling like,
nigga, I'm that woman. I don't care. If you don't like it, I don't care. You gotta, getting up.
But Tim, wouldn't you at least think, okay, I gotta at least throw a hat on. Or brush or something,
brush
like
head to the side.
That's because I live upstate and I drive everywhere. No, so hoodie it doesn't on. Really matter. Just get in my
everything.
Car. If he I had to
do everything.
Yeah.
That's different. If you run, think about running up the block real quick.
If you was in Harlem, you put a coat on or a hat.
We back home uptown, and you gotta run out to the bodega real quick. If you not, you can't just be like, oh shoot. I gotta, like, literally, I'd be like, oh, should I go get some milk so my mom can make some oatmeal or some porridge? Like, you run out, you be like, oh, okay. Like, I literally can roll out of bed in basketball shorts and a t-shirt
Throw a hoodie on.
I guess I'm a boy because, yes, I can do that.
And run and do that. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know a single woman that I know, family or friends, that would just be like, okay. No, like, unfortunately, the pressure is there. Like, a woman has to, it's like, I got to put a bra on because who knows who I might see in the streets. Got to put a hat on in case my hair looks too crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, like, it's so wild. The amount of pressures that women have to deal with.
It's a double standard. That's just me.
It is a double standard.
That's just my take.
I think that, like, a man sexually, like, okay, so if you're thinking about sexually and not, you know, just, you know, aesthetically, sexually, right. A man, if he's heterosexual, sexually, what can he really do, or how is he going to be fulfilled without his man friend downstairs?
Yeah,
but with women, there's other ways to stimulate us if we had to sew up our, you know what I mean? There's other ways.
You know what that is? The double standard Joe is talking about.
Listen, the moral of the story, if you ain't got a dick, it's over. Right.
So that's what I'm saying. If we were talking sexually, I don't think women have that same sentiment. I know that I'd rather not lose. I'd rather sew me up. Don't take my arm. I don't want to be disfigured. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't want to be disfigured. I'm fine.
Ladies, let us know. Let us know.
Hit on
the
inbox. I'm doing a survey and somebody's gonna owe me some money.
But go ahead, Jay. Before I do the sports and the wrap up, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Before we get to the sports, can we talk about, did y'all see the finale for Ghost, for Power?
Yes.
Oh, Joe.
I've been on the road.
Joe, what are you doing, man?
You gotta catch up, Joe.
I saw Wonder Woman. I've been watching Cobra Kai. I've been watching my son do Just Dance 2021.
Yes.
In there.
South is day.
All the dances that y'all wish y'all could do. All the choreography that you wish you can do. So I've been watching a few things. I've been watching the sports, and I had to bring that up because JP got a Knicks jersey on. And those that know us specifically, he's got an RJ Barrett jersey on. And I got
Young Future.
Knicks have won four games in a row. Sitting fifth in the West at 5-3, right above three seeds from the Brooklyn Nets are 4-4. KD got the COVID. It's a lot happening right now in Brooklyn. Stores is closed. So I'm just saying this. I'm not getting too big on the Knicks right now.
I'm not either.
I got excited the other night when the Giants almost won the division, and it caused me to have a hernia. I almost had a hernia in my living room because I thought we was about to win a division with a 6-10 record. So what I'm going to say is...
You almost had a hernia?
I almost created a hernia for myself by being too excited. But what I will say is, Knicks fans out there, there's some hope for our young Knicks. But here's the way I pull the seat out under you. I started rooting for a B team this year. My B team is better than the Knicks. They're the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul is out
there. I like that B team too. I'm
watching my B team flourish in the West. But the Knicks, I'm feeling good about the Knicks. How you feel about the Knicks? Tiff, I know this ain't your part of the show. Tiff is like,
I feel like the Knicks always lose. So,
well, she's right on that.
They do. But I'm going to tell you this much.
I don't know why y'all so loyal to the Knicks.
Don't worry about it. Ask Spike Lee.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Look.
All right.
Let me tell you something, ladies. If your man is a Knicks fan, he's loyal.
I was engaged to a Knicks fan.
Or Giants.
And he wasn't loyal to me, but he was loyal to the Knicks.
Ugh.
That's a different combo. Different
name. Yeah, that's different. I don't understand. Means you're capable, but you're not willing.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Well,
fair point.
Real quick, Joe.
The Knicks, I think, have a great ability to all y'all listening.
Great coach.
To sneak a lot of quick wins in here the way the schedule's set up.
Yep.
So, my quick minute assessment on the sports, the way schedules are with the back to back games, three games in 5 nights or three games in 4 nights, the playing teams back to back, like baseball series, you know, limited travel so that you're not on the road as long. And I'm gonna be honest with you, the Knicks just want an impressive road. They want a good road trip. Outside of just unfortunately not being able to make shots against Toronto, which was shocking. Wins against Atlanta, wins against the Pacers, coming back home to beat the Jazz. Those are three playoff teams. Like you saw them, okay.
I'm not getting that hype. I ain't get that hype.
No. I'm not getting hype. What I'm trying to say is, like, you see growth.
I definitely.
You see coaching. And because you see growth in coaching, and they have a lot of good young talent, and I think Tibbs is going to be able to, like, play 10 guys when Toppin gets back.
Right.
And help save some minutes. The Knicks, because of the schedule, the way everything is in the NBA this year, they can sneak and get a few more wins than people expected. Mm-hmm. And when they play better defense and they play better down the stretch, that's how you can easily eke out 8 to 10 more games. Because they literally lost at least 10 to 15 games last year.
I'm with you.
By like but 5 points
Knicks,
or less.
Let's just be honest. The Knicks still are a superstar away from really taking the East. They got a great foundation, great young players, great coach, Thibodeau.
But you can't always purchase a superstar. Sometimes you have to grow your own.
That's a
fact. So if this young kid can really be what we think he's going to be,
yeah,
then my thing is, instead of looking to have a whole superstar, sometimes you got to develop a core.
But you still need proven.
It takes time. Legitimate. It takes time.
There's dudes that want to go to the Knicks, and they will now because there's Thibodeau, there's a foundation,
yep.
There's a future. So on that note,
that's great. On that note, that's we agree.
Fulfilled our contractual agreement. If you are on the East Coast, it is approaching 11:00. If you're on the West Coast, it's about almost 8:00. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Shout out to Uncle Kevin here coming in here.
Yeah, Uncle Kevin, always showing love. I was just with him.
Danny, my guy Danny on the check-in. Appreciate everybody. Livid tapping in. I just want to say, tell them where to find y'all at. Starting with Jay, and then we're going to go to Tiff. How can they find you? Give them that social until next week. Tell them where to find you.
At JPC, the number 2 KLUB. On Twitter, on the gram, you know what it is. Rest in peace, I'm Betty. Happy Founders Day. Shouts to Betty. All the noobs. You know it was J5 yesterday. Yeah. I gotta be in Kappa for 2 seconds. Shout to the good brothers at Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
Yes, sir.
110 years. KX, the home team. I love y'all.
Come on, Tiff. Tell them where to find you.
I don't got all that hype that he has. You can find me on Facebook. That's where I'm at. Tiff Tonto on Facebook. You can catch me in the mornings, Monday through Friday, on WYWM Radio for the morning show. Get all your latest news, updates, and entertainment, sports, and and that's it. Oh, you know what, Joe? I joined Clubhouse. Right? Because my friend...
Oh, We got to talk about that next week.
But you know what? I'm just going to say this one quick thing. Clubhouse is not bad if you go into the right rooms. There's a lot of things that you can learn business-wise. And there's a lot of networking that you can do business-wise if you go into the right rooms.
Ain't that some bullshit? That's all I'm going to say.
Nah, that's not sure. Yeah, I'm gonna invite you to a good room. All you gotta
I downloaded the app and immediately said, I gotta delete this shit. Everybody that I needed to stay the fuck away from in 2021 signed straight the fuck up on there. Got everybody got something. So
well, dude, don't be in their room. Don't go in their room.
No,
you
I'm gonna say
go
this.
Go in the rooms with the real movers and the shakers.
Oh, no.
And you
I'm
can
with
learn
you.
Some real good stuff.
I'm with you. There's some movers and shakers on it, but I just can't process everybody having a mic at one time. It just drives me insane. So I think next week, somebody sent me an invite. I may get back on there for one particular audio thing that's coming up this week with a bunch of creatives. So I may be back on there for a special guest appearance, but I ain't fucking with it. So on that note, next week.
I think that's going to be the next new wave.
We got a musical guest coming on. Stay tuned.
Oh, we
got Dr. Flyer. We got homegrown Bronx owned artist coming on. Talk to us about his music career and about what he's got going on. So I don't want to ruin it, but Stay tuned for that next week on the Afterthought Podcast. 9:30. I'm your man, Joe Hill. I will be in Colorado Springs tomorrow night. I'll be there four shows headlining at 3E's Comedy Club in downtown Colorado Springs. That's a red state, but they're progressive.
Nah, they purple. They purple. They go back and forth.
So I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna be out there. I'm gonna be doing shows Friday night, two shows, Saturday, two shows. I got my dog Emerson Stripesy coming through. And what up, E? You know, with the gang, and I don't know if y'all heard, we back in Atlanta March 26th through the 27th. Yeah, four more shows at Uptown Comedy Corner. So we working it. We're trying to find ways, not only am I, to get us this podcast as a pre-show or part one of a great night. So we get in there, but follow me on everything. This is Joe Hill. Follow the podcast, the Afterthought Podcast, and support my co-host JP and Tip Tonto. That's a wrap. Y'all have a good night.
Go listen to the new comedy album, man. The comedy special, the holiday comedy special. That shit was funny.
That shit was funny, Joe. You heard the bars on there.
I haven't listened to it yet. I gotta go down.
Type in Joe Hill. You'll see Jingles, Jokes, and Hoes. I released it on Christmas Day. It's streaming everywhere. But yeah, shout out to the Afterthought Podcast and the whole team. Make sure y'all stream us. This episode will be up tomorrow. And catch up on... This is episode 20, I believe, on Anchor FM and all the streaming platforms. But you can also watch this tomorrow on YouTube if you want to run it down. So, y'all be safe, especially be safe. It's crazy out here. You see what's going on with the whole congressional shit. Be safe, be smart. Love yourself and love others, all right? So,
that's
y'all
be safe.
Be well.
Happy birthday, Bristol. Happy birthday, Chloe. January 6th, my fam. I love y'all.
Shout out to Layla. I know she helped produce the whole command center, so we got to give her
Yeah, time. I love the command center.
And then she left me.
And on that note, we out of here. Peace. Later.